What's going on, everybody? It's Jamon Bolton here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Today's show, I discuss the first week of the NBA season, what we should look out for, what rookies I think are going to make the biggest impact, and also want to talk about the Golden State Warriors and what they're doing and why it's not bad for basketball like many people seem to think. I also have some MLB news and some NFL news. Stay tuned. I'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, everybody. So the first week in the NBA just got, you know, just passed the first week. And like always, the NBA never disappoints. It was good to have the NBA back. We missed it. I know I've missed it. I can speak for myself, but I know a lot of people miss the NBA a lot as well. So, you know, just it's action packed. You know, the first week is here. We've seen some pretty cool things. You know, some teams are looking good. Some teams are looking a little shaky. Right now, we're looking at the Lakers like, hey, what's happening? But, you know, I have faith in them. I know that they'll be fine. You got LeBron on your team, and we'll get back to the Lakers as to what happened with them. But, you know, the Rockets don't look as good as they did last year. You know, we have the Jazz. They're kind of off to a little slow start, but it's early. It's very early. And we know how that works. So, you know, New Orleans just won a game again tonight. They're 3-0. Anthony Davis is playing at an MVP level, and, you know, he's phenomenal. Denver's 4-0 right now, and you got Jokic. He's just amazing. He had a triple-double the other night. He joined Wilt Chamberlain as the only player to record a perfect triple-double. He had 35, 12, and 11 assists and remained perfect from the field. So that goes to show what they're working with. So we'll see if they're able to hold up. You know, they lost one of their key guys and Wilt for about 5 to 6 weeks for a groin injury. So we'll see how they hold up. You know, we got a bunch of talented rookies this year. Trae Young, he started off hot. He had a huge game against Cleveland the other night. A lot of people were kind of wondering about his transition and if he'd be able to make the transition so seamlessly. I think he's really good. I thought he would struggle a little bit, kind of like Steph Curry. But again, the kid can shoot. He can shoot. Once he steps on the court, his range is just unlimited. So 35 and 11 he had the other night led him to a pretty big victory. So he's going to have some bumps and bruises and some tough learning curves, but I think he's going to be pretty good. Another young player I'm really impressed with is Luka Doncic. He's amazing. I mean, it helps that you've been a pro for so many years, but a lot of times people seem to think, like, you know, it won't translate over to the NBA. Man, a lot of people were mistaken. The guy just looks like a natural. He looks wise beyond his years. He doesn't look 19 on the court. I mean, he's really, really, really good. He has really good court vision, being 6'7". He can see over everything. He's impressive. He's really impressive. I'm actually really impressed at what he can do and how he's done it. He's really good. DeAndre Ayton, he's a man. You know, he had a rough outing against Jokic the other night. But, I mean, that's to be expected. But he's a man. You can see how he plays, and he's going to be really good. I think Marvin Bagley's also going to stand out. He's going to be fairly good as well. So I think those are guys that we need to kind of, you know, look out for and just kind of expect to do, you know, a little bit of everything. I think Mo Bamba's going to have a slight learning curve. I mean, his numbers aren't jumping out initially, but, you know, he's a defender. You know, he can be a specialist his whole career if it ever came down to that. But I definitely think he's a kid that wants to put the work in, a kid that will do the work, and a kid that's going to get better and better and better. So that's the, you know, that's the twist, I think. You know, it's a lot, you know, rookies are come and go. You know, the Knicks had, you know, Alonzo Trier. You know, he looked good in the game against the Hawks. You know, we don't know how he's going to hold up during the season. He's a free agent from Arizona, undrafted free agent. So we really don't know what's going to happen. These rookies are going to be up and down. But the guys that I mentioned a little bit earlier, those are going to be the guys I think that stick to their staples. They're going to kind of be in your name. You're going to hear them. They're going to pop up on SportsCenter all year. You're going to hear them on the blogs and the podcasts and things like that. So they have something going on. I mentioned in the intro, I wanted to talk about the Warriors. You know, and I saw something the other day. I don't know if it was a quote from Iguodala. I could be wrong. But it was something that made me think. And it said, you know, it reminds me of how people are, how fans are. You know, when you talk about a player, like I came across a post the other day. It was an old street ball player who I won't name. He said something along the lines of when he was playing a game, I think LeBron was in attendance and he called LeBron a bum. And I get it. Everybody's entitled. He's like, LeBum. And I get it. We take our fandom to the next level and we get a little crazy at times. But people, you know, people need to realize what's what, right? And people hate LeBron for whatever reason, and I didn't mean to go up in a tangent about him, but I say this to say, you got to appreciate the greats while they're here. There's a lot of people that I see, oh damn, I wish Kobe was still playing. You know, they didn't appreciate it. You know, Kobe plays 20 years, 17 of those years, you're complaining about him, right? You start to feel bad for him when he tears his Achilles. Appreciate him when he's at his highest value, right? So the same goes for the Warriors. And I saw a quote, like I was saying, by Iguodala. And it was saying something along the lines of, like, it might have been Iguodala's picture, but needless to say, it was saying something along the lines of appreciate the greatness instead of hating it. And, you know, for me, I start to think about that. And it's like, you know, people really have a lot of hatred towards these guys. They aren't the first super team. You know, it looks bad now because players do it, right? When Red Auerbach was orchestrating all those great Celtic teams back in the day, it wasn't wrong. It was just red being red, you know? You got Cousy, you got Satch, you know, you got Casey Jones, you know, you got Russell, of course. You know, you got all the other pieces around you. And, you know, you got an all-star team, 11 championships in 13 seasons. I mean, that's an all-star team. But Red orchestrated it. The Celtics of the 80s, Red orchestrated it. So it doesn't look as bad, but when players take control of their destination, it looks a little bad. And so, you know, we're pursued with the hate. You know, I've seen DeMarcus Cousins getting screamed at, like, oh, you ruined the game. Like, you didn't ruin the game. I mean, it's within the rules. Nobody says salary cap restrictions are off. I mean, and owners went for pay dirt and just kind of started paying everybody all kinds of money. He took a few steps back as far as money goes, and he's going to hopefully make up for it when he comes back and he gets into the playoffs, and hopefully they make another run, which is why this was here. Now, I brought them up because it's like this may not happen after this season. You know, they won the last three out of the last four. It's a chance for them to win four out of the, you know, have the fourth ring. And it's a pretty good run. You know, if Kyrie Irving doesn't hit that shot, you know, we're talking four straight championships. And I know people can kind of get tired of it and say, oh, you know, this is that. You got to appreciate this, man, because when it's done, it's done. We don't know if Clay, you know, we already hearing the reports. Clay's like, I'm not giving nobody a discount. You know, DeMarcus Cousins he's not coming back next year. You know, Kevin Durant, you know, the rumors are starting already about him leaving. We don't know. Apparently he likes New York, but, you know, he could go to New York with three rings and kind of build the Knicks back up until a winner. That'd be great, spoken from a Knicks fan's point of view and for the city of New York. But, I mean, from my perspective, I wouldn't even leave. You know, I got that great cast around me. Why would I leave? But we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. So I say, instead of knocking it, instead of having so much hatred towards it, you know, this is a part of the game. It's always been a part of the game. You look back in history, Perry's never been a part of the NBA statistically, right? I mean, you know, historically, I should say. The 60s, the Celtics got nine of the rings in the 60s, right? You look at the 70s was the only era where there was no Perry. You know, we had eight different champions. The Knicks won two championships. You know, they won 70 and 73. And you got a bunch of other champions that you can plug in there. But that's been the era we had the most champions. And then you get to the 80s, you know, the Lakers had five. The Celtics had three. Philly had one. Detroit got one. The 90s, the Bulls dominated. So it's like we shouldn't be shocked at a team's dominance. It's just what happens. Back in these times, the GMs were orchestrating things like that. Now players have a little bit more control. So super teams are the norm now. You look at the Lakers team. You got Magic, you got Worthy, you got Cooper, you got Kareem, you got Byron Scott, you had Bob McAdoo coming off the bench. You know, you had Kurt Rambis. People say Kurt Rambis, but Kurt Rambis was a stud. You know, you look at the Pistons teams, they were loaded. I mean, it was just good front office teams, you know. So I say enjoy this, man. Appreciate this because this is great basketball. I really love it. I don't care if they go – I don't care if they went 79-3, bro. I really don't. I just love it. It's something we'll never see. I'm a guy that loves history. You know, I'm a New Yorker, you know, but hey, I wouldn't have been mad if the Patriots went undefeated. It's something we may never see again. I was excited to see it, you know, but, you know, appreciate history, man. Respect it. It's been a great run. It's kind of reminiscent of the Bulls runs. You know, we always knew they were going to come back, but right now, so much money on the table. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, the Bulls were forced to break up, obviously. We knew it was the last dance in 98 when those guys were gone, and you know, Scottie been underpaid his whole career, so it was time for him to take a big pay, you know, get a pay increase. MJ is MJ, so we know how that went. But, I just say, you know, appreciate it. Stop acting ignorant towards it. And, you know, again, because when it's all said and done, I guarantee the people that hate them will say, oh, they ruined the basketball. They'll be like, damn, we saw something special. You know, two of the best shooters ever in the history of the NBA, one of the probably arguably pound for pound, maybe the greatest scorer in the history of the game. And he may be the all-time leading scorer when he's all said and done. And Kevin Durant, one of the most versatile defenders in Draymond. And DeMarcus Cousins is a matchup nightmare as well. So, respect history, man. But I want to slide over, man. And I chuckle, man, because I want to talk about this brawl, man. Opening week's been crazy. Like I said, some teams have been doing their thing. But the brawl that happened last weekend was crazy. You know, I know we're a couple days removed from it, so it may be old news or some, but I'm just getting back on it, and I'm just kind of thinking about it. Like, and, you know, a lot of it was unnecessary. I mean, Brandon Ingram kind of was a little frustrated. He started it with the shove to Harden. Of course, everybody else got in each other's face. I'm going to go on a limb and say this. I thought he was going to get 10 games, honestly. I thought he was going to get about 10 games. I thought Rondo was going to probably get about 5 or 6. I thought CP3 would get 3 to 4. So I'm really surprised that they were so lenient on a suspension. So Brandon Ingram needs to cut, you know, needs to pray. You know, he needs to count his blessings because, man, he was getting ready to get a huge suspension. Had David Stern been in charge, we already know how David Stern gave it up. He didn't play no games, and what, you throwing a punch in L.A.? Nah, we're not having that. But, I mean, thank God it wasn't as bad as it was. I just, for me, I'm bringing up the brawl because I don't think Rondo tried to spit on him. I think anybody that's ever played a sport with a mouthpiece, you know, spit can go flying every and anywhere. It can get zoomed in, you know, depending on whose video you watch. You already know it's going to be something where somebody says, oh, no, man, this is that. I don't know. I don't think he did. I don't think he intentionally tried to. I just think the intensity got picked up and they were talking to each other and spit flew out and hit Chris Paul in his face and went ballistic. Rightfully so. That's the nastiest thing you could ever have happened to him. But that's just me. I think the brawl was crazy. Thank God it didn't get crazier when it lead into the stand. So people getting, you know, pissed off at LeBron for not help, you know, kind of pulling CP away and not standing on the front line with his teammates or whatever. Look, man, do what you got to do to make it stop and shut up so we can play ball. That's kind of what he said in the postgame. For me for one, we need to make it get crazier than what it was. So Brandon Ingram, be lucky, man. You know, be thankful because you was about to get, you would have got hit with some crazy numbers if it was David Stern. So be lucky Adam Silver's got a heart and he's a little bit lenient, you know, but first week of the NBA was awesome. Looking forward to more. I think it's going to be a really interesting season. Hopefully things take a turn for the better for some teams. You know, some of these rookies are going to keep getting better and better. And it's I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good. I think, you know, Dave Fizdale, I just want to shout him out real quick. You know, the Knicks, they want it too. But, I mean, he's got them running. They got rid of that triangle, thank God. So they're fun to watch again. You got a guy that you want to play for. It's going to make the game a lot easier. And when Porzingis comes back, I think, depending on how healthy he looks, it's definitely going to be something where you can kind of, you know, let your free agents see, like, hey, potential free agents, hey, this is what we got. So it's going to be an interesting season. So that's all I got for basketball right now. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with some more news. Welcome back, everybody. So let's jump right over to the NFL right now. And I know I'm a few days off on this one as well, so please forgive me for the tardiness on reporting this news. But Drew Brees, I want to talk about him for a minute. Here's a guy who, when you look back on his career, he's a guy that, you know, if you know sports, you know, I know sports pretty well, I like to think, and he's a guy that came into the NFL. Not a lot of fanfare. People were kind of skeptical about him. People didn't know what to think about him. People seemed to think that he was, he wasn't going to be any good. But when you look at him, you see him and you see everything that he's done over his career. It's really impressive. I mean, the guy just, you know, he set the record for the most passing yards in his career. Then he also joined an exclusive club that only Peyton Manning, Tom Brady and Brett Favre, and that's the 500 touchdown club. And you know, when you sit there and you think about him, you think about all that he's done and what he's gone through and what he's been through in his career. He's kind of written off early in his career. I'm sure you remember when he went to San Diego and they drafted Phillip Rivers. So it's kind of hard to really stay somewhere where you're not really wanted. And he was in that situation where he just kind of wasn't wanted anymore. They knew where they wanted to go in the future. And he didn't get clear to go to Miami when he was a free agent because of that nasty shoulder injury he had. And he ended up in New Orleans. And New Orleans, you know, at a time when the city was just coming down off of like a horrific, like natural disaster. They had a hurricane. And, you know, it was bad. Nobody wanted to go to New Orleans. Like, why would you want to go to New Orleans? You know, just after that fiasco, what was happening, it just looked bad. It was just a bad situation all around. And, you know, he kind of came and he rejuvenated the city. And, you know, when you look back on it, I mean, Drew Brees, who ever thought Drew Brees would be the all-time leading passer in NFL history? I wait, because I know I didn't see it, and I'm not going to sit here and say, like, I'm a football connoisseur. But, you know, all my years of watching college football and watching him and, you know, kind of watching him in Purdue and things of that nature, but I never thought that he would be the guy to break all those records. And one thing you can say about Drew Brees, when you sit there and you start to think about him, and, you know, you say, damn, he's got over 500 touchdowns for his career. You know, he's got over, you know, he's got over, you know, 70-some-odd thousand passing yards. He's got a Super Bowl championship. I mean, the guy's phenomenal. He's always, his accuracy is pinpoint. I mean, you know, he's amazing. He's going to be 40 years old in January, and he's still doing it at such a high level. And there's nothing you can really say about the guy. Like, oh, you know, what is it? He's doing this. He's doing that for his career. 67%. He's, like, throwing 77% right now for the season. I mean, he's just phenomenal, extremely phenomenal. And, you know, again, he's been the one thing about New Orleans. It hasn't been like it is in New England, where they kind of, you know, they kind of have the same guys around. They have a perfect system. You know, Brady's been through a lot. Not Brady. Brees has been through a lot. You know, he's had a few coordinators. You know, he had to go through the Spygate thing. You know, Sean Payton sitting out a year. It was a lot. And you think about last season, they kind of came close to kind of advancing in the playoffs. They're off to a hot start this year, but we don't know what's going to happen. But when you look back on it, I sit there and I say all this to say, you know, where does he rank? That's my argument for him. Like, where does he rank? I think, you know, with my personal opinion and what I think as far as he goes, he's a top 6 or 7 QB of all time. The guys that are in front of him, it's no knock to who he's going to pass and who he has surpassed. But when you look at it, you know, I had to really come to grips and realize that, you know, Tom Brady might be the best quarterback ever. You know, but then you have someone that may say, hey, it's Peyton Manning. You know, what Peyton Manning did in the regular season, how he was able to break down defenses and things like that. It was just amazing in what he was able to do. So I think, from my understanding, I'm not going to grade him right now as far as order goes. You can be the judge of that. But, you know, you got Tom Brady. You got Peyton Manning. You got Joe Montana. Again, this is in no particular order. You got Brett Favre. Of course, you got John Elway. Then you got Dan Marino, who's arguably the greatest pure passer in the league. And then you kind of have Drew Brees, and I'd put him above Steve Young. And some people may say that's blasphemous, but I just think, man, he's more accurate than Steve Young. Yeah, he's not as mobile, but I mean, hell. I mean, Steve Young was good. He was a good running quarterback, but he wasn't Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick. Let's not sit there and act like he was, but he was great for what he did. And, you know, he was awesome, you know, to use the weapons that he had. But I think Drew Brees is just, he's just phenomenal, man. You look at the hard work he puts in, man. He's not a big guy anyway. Just such a class act the way he does it. So I just wanted to salute him and take the time to do it. I feel like it was necessary. You know, you can never give that man enough praise. As far as the current teams, the Rams look unstoppable. I know they won't go undefeated. They're pretty powerful. They just look good, man. I mean, it's just kind of like, what's going to happen? I mean, Todd Gurley is just he's a stud. He does a little bit of everything. You can't go wrong. The head coach is a young young dude. He's extremely young. Sean McVay is, what, 32, maybe 33? He knows the game inside and out. It's amazing how much he knows. And I think they're going to be in it, man. I think they have a good chance of coming out the NFC and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So we'll definitely have to see how that works out. But they've got a chance. I mean, the division is extremely weak. I mean, with Seattle, but I don't know what's going to happen with Seattle, what they're doing. It's just an amazing thing to watch them play football. They've been playing some really good football. Gurley's been putting up those great numbers. I don't know if he'll be NFL MVP, but he's putting up some great numbers. You know, but other than that, they seem to be in a collision course with the Saints, which wouldn't be a bad thing. So we'll see how that turns out. You know, right now everybody can look good, but it's all about the playoff teams. And that's a young team. They got eliminated last year in their first playoff game. So we'll see how it works for them this year. I'm going to say the Giants need to fix things. The Giants, I think it's time to really face reality. I think it's time to say goodbye to Eli Manning. It's not a knock on Eli, but you got a guy that you know, your franchise wide receiver. You gave him a huge deal, and he's not getting the ball. I mean, the guy puts up numbers where you can get him the ball. I mean, he missed some games, and we seen he was the fastest receiver to 5,000 yards in a modern era. He did it in 54 games, but you have to get him the ball. I know Saquon Barkley's been good for the team. He's been great. He's been able to step in and do a little bit of everything. But they may have been right when they said the Giants should have drafted a quarterback, because I think that, you know, Eli's days are numbered. It's not a knock on Eli. You know, Eli's got 2 Super Bowl rings. He's been really good. You know, he's very poised, but it's just not the same. Again, I can't dissect the defense and I can't dissect an offense like most football brilliant football minds can. But I've got eyes and I know Eli doesn't look the same. Sometimes we just kind of, you know, we just age. Some people age differently. And that's just kind of how I see it. So I don't know what they have in mind, but the Giants better fix it or else it's going to kind of just get worse from there. You see the Raiders, they look bad. But I don't know, you know, a lot of people seem to think John Gruden's kind of just doing this on purpose. The educated person and the smart sports mind in me, I say he's kind of sitting there just doing things all strategic. Gruden realizes they're not going to be much of anything. And he's about as brave as they come from a football standpoint. I guess working with the team up close, you kind of see from a firsthand standpoint, like, look, we need to work on this. You know, because you look at it, you say, well, you know, I think the Khalil Mack was totally ridiculous. I think that one was stupid. They should be kicking themselves in the head about that one. It just didn't make any sense. Why would you get rid of Khalil Mack? But hey, what do I know? I'm sitting here trying to get a radio show. I don't know much of anything. I know what I know, and I know I wouldn't trade Khalil Mack, though. So that's just me. Got rid of Amari Cooper. You know, is David Carr next? You know, the rumors and the rumors, like, oh, David Carr was crying on the floor. You know, if something that came out through Bleacher Report, I don't really know what it was. I didn't really see what happened, but I doubt he was crying. You know, but, I mean, Gruden's working with him close, and he sees what he sees him on an everyday basis now. So maybe he's dissecting him and saying he's not really fit for what he wants to do. So he's got something up his sleeves, though. You know, 3 first-round picks, and I'm sure he's got a few seconds and a few thirds. So he's going to be building that team up through the draft. He's got a 10-year deal. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. So that'll be pretty interesting. So we'll see how that works. But I want to take a quick break right here. I'm going to still be in the NFL, but I think this next segment kind of needs its own section. I don't want to mix it up with anything else. But I'll be right back. Give me a brief second. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll come back with some more NFL news. Welcome back, guys. Before the break, I know I told you I needed a new segment. It's still in the NFL, but I needed a separate segment for this next topic. And for me, I'm reporting this on a sadder note. And I'm speaking about this personally because it affects me personally, not because I have anything. I'm directly involved with it. But I remember hearing the news in 1999 about what Ray Carruth did. I remember being in boarding school in Tennessee at Webb, and I remember just hearing about it and like, you know, why would you be so stupid? And, you know, for me, I look at things from a different perspective, right? You know, this is all boiled down to the fact that this guy didn't want to pay child support, right? So, like, you know, I'm sure anybody who's listening, you know, Ray Carruth was released from prison after almost 18 years on Monday. They let him out shortly after 8 a.m. You know, he was there. And I think when you learn about the story about with Sharika Adams and everything she had to go through, it's sad. It's really, really sad. It's kind of like, how do you do this? You know, why do you do this? You know, this is because you didn't want to pay child support. You know, like people always tell you, when you out there and you're doing whatever it is you're doing with women, you know, whoever it is you're doing, be prepared. You know, be prepared. When you sleep with someone without protection, you know, a couple of things can happen. You can have an STD. You can, you know, somebody can get pregnant. We know that. And to think a guy would stoop this low because he didn't want to help take care of a baby. And I went back and did the numbers. I did the research. You know, he's making $1 million a year around the time of the tragic murder. And if you look at it with inflation from 2000 to now, you know, inflation, what, 2.14%? That's the inflation, annual inflation. So your $1 million is worth like 1.4 today, right? You're living in the South. It's extremely cheap. So, you know, you go to the South, a normal working person would make 70, 80 grand, lives really good down there. You're a millionaire. Now, I get it. Uncle Sam's going to take a good chunk of that money. But I'm sure he would have been fine. And we could have avoided all this, right? Sandra Adams would have had her daughter. That young man, Chancellor Lee Adams, he would have been born normal. He wouldn't have had cerebral palsy. He wouldn't have had any brain damage. You know, And, you know, Ray, for what it's worth, he could have just lived his life and just said, hey, I have a kid that I don't take care of, but I don't have a relationship with, and I give money to. And athletes have done that. They got kids they have never met. You know, some athletes have. You know, they got kids that they didn't meet for years, and they just kind of did whatever it is they had to do or whatever the case may be. So I say, you know, this really pissed me off, because I think he's a piece of crap. I think he's a despicable human being. I think he should have never been released from prison because of what he did. You know, you hear the story about how he set up, how he lined up the way he did, and it makes no sense. You know, and I know it was under, he should be muted. Nobody should give him an opportunity, but it's going to be some news station or some, you know, somebody's going to pay him some money to talk. Somebody's going to buy the footage. Somebody's going to, you know, he's going to find a way to monitor, you know, capitalize off of this, which he shouldn't be allowed to. But, you know, you hear the quote, you hear the quote for the newspaper, and it's just like, oh, I wanted to, I want to go back into society, you know, the attempt to try to, you know, reconcile with his son and to try to get custody of his son at one point. It's just ridiculous. It's kind of crazy, you know, like the other assailants that, you know, he was involved with this with, you know, two of them, Michael Kennedy and Stanley, you know, Abraham, they've been released from prison. Van Brett Watkins, he's in jail in 2046. So he's more than likely going to die in prison. But it's like, I'm just confused over the law and how it went. I didn't really dig deeper into it. So maybe somebody listening that says, oh, well, such and such happened. I didn't dig into it just because I didn't feel like it was justified of him getting out so early. You know, you don't think about it when you get sentenced. You're like, dang, he's got to do all that time. And you look back on it, that time has flown by. It hasn't been a lot of time. I just think he's a poor excuse for a man. You know, now he wants to come out and do the right thing, and he wants to be a part of his son's life. Okay, if you say so. You know, it's like he's seen a kid twice. Once after he was shot, after Sharika was shot, and he was in the hospital, he saw him. And then, you know, after that, he saw him when he was one. I think it was a court-mandated visit or whatever the case may be. So he saw him when he was in prison. It's like, what do you want with him now? And that's the only reason why I'm talking about this, is because it bothers me a lot. It bothers me a lot. I just think he's a despicable person. To kill someone, you know, you had no intention of being in a relationship with her, but you slept with her. Unprotected, right? So you kind of knew what to expect. Like, don't be stupid. It's like, you know, we all, you know, some, I'm not saying a child is a mistake, but sometimes, you know, we're not ready to have kids. And a lot of us who've had their kids young and didn't really have the finances that you had, we ended up okay. Nobody wants to kill a kid's mom. Now, do I think sometimes child support is a bit ridiculous? Yeah. But does that warrant somebody losing their life? No. So, you know, for what it's worth, he's ruffled a lot of feathers. I really think it'd be in his best interest to kind of maybe just kind of fade to black and just don't bother anybody anymore. He's going to bring a lot of unnecessary attention to himself. And it kind of really brings the memory up. And if I'm sad, if I think about it, just imagine what her mom is going through. Her mom has to be living a damn nightmare now. The anxiety is probably crazy. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I doubt he does anything stupid, but it's just kind of like, man, like, why? You know, it's like, why? So, I really think, you know, Ray Carruth, he should just disappear. I wish he would go away. He's less than a man. I know his family may be happy to see him, but, I mean, what the hell are they happy for? You know, he's a terrible person. But, you know, sometimes you have families and they love you no matter what you do and how bad it was or how good it was. So I can't tell anybody how to love their loved ones, but he's a despicable person. He should be ashamed of himself. Anybody affiliated with him should be ashamed of themselves. He doesn't deserve anything. So I know it's impossible. I don't even know if he qualifies for it or whatever, but if I was in the NFL, I wouldn't even try to give his ass a pension. That's just my opinion. I know it's illegal, but I don't know, man. Who knows? But I figured it was noteworthy that, you know, I put it out there that the murderer is out. So, you know, I'm sure if anybody's in one of those towns in the South, he won't do anything to you. But I'm sure you'll be shopping one day. You may look to your left and see Ray Carruth at the grocery store with you. So, who knows? But I'll be back after this quick commercial break. Welcome back, everybody. I kind of wanted to dig into a little bit of Major League Baseball news, but I really don't have anything much outside for MLB today, honestly speaking. You know, the playoffs, honestly, it really hasn't been that exciting. And it wasn't due to the fact that baseball's been faltering. Actually, baseball's actually been awesome this year. Baseball's always been awesome to me. The playoffs weren't that exciting, though. You know, the Red Sox ran through the AL. You know, New York, we all had hope thinking the Yankees were going to do something, but the Red Sox obliterated the Yankees. It wasn't even a competition. The Dodgers, you know, they had a tougher time coming out the NL. But, you know, they pulled it out with a terrific Game 7 against the Brewers. So, the playoffs really weren't exciting. The division series, you kind of knew what to expect. You knew what was going to happen. I think everybody's more so looking forward to free agency. Not saying the World Series doesn't matter, because I'll give you my World Series prediction in a minute. But, we're looking to see what's going to happen. Where, you know, is Harper going to leave? You know, is Machado going to leave? Things like that. So, that's something everybody's looking forward to and wanting to know. You know, when the Yankees get a big coup, you know, who's going to retire? Who's going to be a new superstar? You know, obviously, definitely got to give a shout out to David Wright. You know, he won't be playing anymore. Obviously, he could never really get right after that injury. But he's had a pretty damn good career. He was on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Will he ever get in? I don't know. I don't know if they sit down and say, hey, you know what? His candidacy shouldn't be hindered at the fact that he was injured. So, I mean, it happens to some, but he had a pretty good career nonetheless. So it was good to see him kind of come back for the last two games of the season. So definitely shout out to him. As far as the World Series goes, I'm not making this prediction because I have a thing as to why, you know, the Red Sox. Like, I'm a Yankee, I'm a New Yorker. So I naturally be kind of root for the Yankees, you know what I mean? And I do like the Yankees. But I will say, I think, although the Red Sox had the best record in the league this year, I think the Dodgers will get them in seven. I mean, I've been wrong before. I could be wrong. I just think when those guys' bats wake up and that pitching is on, they're kind of tough to beat. So I've got my money on the Dodgers pulling it off and kind of bringing home that championship. It'd be the first championship since '88. So they deserve it. Boston's curse been broke, so they don't need no more. But I'm gonna go with LA in seven. I'm gonna stick with that prediction. I mean, I could be wrong. They lost tonight 8-4. They made a few errors here and there. They could have probably kept it closer. But, I mean, it's game one, opening game jitters. And it'll be a back-and-forth battle. So we'll see how the rest of the series goes. But that's all I really have for Major League Baseball. And that's all I really have for right now. So, you know, I'll be back sooner, man. I got to stop taking these three-week breaks between episodes. But, you know, I want to say thank you to everybody that listens, everybody that subscribed. You know, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. If you can, please tell a friend to tell a friend to get another friend to get in contact with their uncle at the radio station so I can get on the radio. Nah. But seriously, man, just thank you for everything. Thank you for people that listen, people that give me feedback, people that interact with me. If you want to follow me on social media, I'm sure you guys all know I'm on Instagram at Sports Drama Entertainment. I'm still going to change the name. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but I'm just kind of waiting to do everything all at once. So it's at Sports Drama Entertainment. And on Twitter, I'm at Sports Drama ENT. And that's where you can kind of keep up with everything. I have everything linked, though, so I do occasionally tweet by itself. But I do most of my tweeting comes through my Instagram post. But again, thank you for everything. Thank you for listening. It's Jamon Bolton here with episode number 44. I'm done. I'll be back real soon. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll speak to you guys soon. Peace.